This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone crocus bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spike me. Me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike.
Talking Heads with Nachi is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
You've got it logged and loaded to the Monday, June 3rd edition of Talking Heads. Your boy, Naughty, in your company right up until 6 p.m. Pearly will be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour. And, of course, you know today's Monday, so we will be going live to Abaco. We'll be talking with Roscoe Thompson live from Abaco. We'll get caught up with all things Abaco. And, of course, we will talk, the results of the F&M convention over the weekend, as well as the other headlines, and it's all coming up on the flip side of the break, but you know how you could chime in. Phone lines are open, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259 in New Providence. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day right here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Quick break, flip side of the break. We'll be catching up with Roscoe Thompson. It is Monday. We'll be going live to Abaco, and it's all going down on the flip side of the break, so keep it right where you got it. The Monday, June 3rd edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Flavid Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Flavid Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first. Guaranteed to pay
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start. From the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Pizza Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your pizza sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Refined style with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great, then Fine Threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. Is your place, is your place.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back at you on the Monday, June 3rd edition of Talking Heads. Let's go live to Abaco. We got Roscoe Thompson chiming in with us. Roscoe, what's good, man?
Right here, man. Unfortunately, I'm not in Abaco today. I'm actually in your hometown.
Okay, well, it's all good. You still enjoying the weekend, I take it. But, I mean, let's talk about that right out the break, man. Obviously, congratulations to you. We mentioned that earlier. You were successful in winning your post down there in Abaco. And then, obviously, you know, the convention came this weekend. And I think all F&Ms have spoken in a resounding way. 486 to 163. I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, I think that's a resounding, I don't want to say defeat for them, but it sends a resounding message, you know, that the party's looking at a new direction. And we've chosen our leader and our chairman and deputy and board members, and we're ready for 2026.
Now, you know, I know you were in attendance all weekend long, so obviously, you know, there was a lot of stuff out there on social media and a lot of things swirling, but how were the actual events? How did the election process go? There were no disturbances, correct?
No disturbances. I mean, people had their opinions and some people, you know, people shared, but it wasn't, everybody was polite, you know, that I saw, and no matter what side, you know, I saw Renwood Wells there, I saw Jeff Lloyd, Desmond Bannister, and it wasn't, you know, KP to Turnquest, you know, everybody, and it wasn't, no matter who you supported, they hailed you, they shook your hand, you know, they talked to you, gave you a hug, you know, so okay. I didn't see that, you know. Now, maybe there was, but not towards me, and not what I saw when I was down, and the voting process went, you know, smoothly. I mean,
there was no shenanigans in that regard.
No, not that I know of, not that I saw. You know, everybody was eager to vote, man. That line
but
was
because,
long.
You know, like, there was reports of low voter turnout, but I'm thinking, okay, 486 plus 163, that's like 640 some votes. If there's only 750, you know, people who can vote and 650 showed up, that's not low voter turnout at all, in my opinion.
No, and that's why I don't listen to some of that noise that we get in some of these groups, because some of these people come out with information. I think they just spew it, you know, to get whatever their likes or comments or whatever it may be. But I think it was 90-something people didn't come to vote. You know, I mean, that's a good... To me, that's a great percentage of voters that came out to exercise their democratic right. And the F&M spoke loud and clear. Michael C. Pintard will lead us into 2026 and, you know, hopefully become the future PM of the Bahamas.
Now, let me ask you this. There were also some questions of voter suppression, which came out of the Minnis camp. I saw Dr. Minnis drop a interview, but I'm thinking, if you worrying about t-shirts, whether you got neutral t-shirts, Pintard t-shirts, or your t-shirts, 486 t-shirts voted, regardless if they was Pintard or if they was neutral, 486 weren't intimidated to vote for Mr. Pintard.
No, and you know, all we always talk politics inside politics, and you know, people saying he'll get 150 votes. I said no more than 200, so I was in that range. I was a little off if you want to go by numbers, but you know, like he brought up about the North Andros and the Berry Islands, they got to vote, you know, they went with the original list, you know, which was the right thing to do. I mean, end of story. I mean, he that was his extra 10 votes. The numbers were right on. They said he would get 150. If you take away those 10 Andros votes, you know, that made it 163, 150. So they were off by 3 votes. And that's good when you got, you know, a party that knows their numbers.
All right. Now, here's something that instantly, and like I told folks, I said, listen, city season can start June 2nd.
Yeah.
And here it comes. Instantly now, the PLP trying to savage the speech of newly reelected F&M leader, Mr. Michael Pintard. You were there. You were in attendance. How did the speech hit you? Did the speech resonate to everybody that was there?
It actually felt like 92, 93.
Well, I was gonna ask you that because that was my next question. Because I've heard that from a lot of F&Ms, old school F&Ms, middle age F&Ms, especially when they see me, Nordius like 92 all over again. Now, is it like 92 all over again?
I mean, Naughty, we won't know until 2026, but the feeling and the energy that I see coming from, you know, the constituency associations, even in Abaco, and people starting to come back to meetings, things like that. So, yes, that energy and what he, in his speech and what he resonated, he did take some shots at this government, but it is nothing that we have not heard.
But isn't that the job of His Majesty's loyal opposition to take shots at the government and hold them accountable?
It is. I mean, first of all, answer the questions that the opposition has put to the House.
Well, I know Elizabeth got some questions to answer when the House opened again, because, boy, hey, you have some planning to do.
But you look at it, and what are we, a $69 million, $70 million, almost $70 million budget shortfall? Where is the count? Look, and here, I'll bring it up. I know he doesn't, but look at the incident with Uri Kemp, you know, and I really appreciate him and what he said to Simon Wilson. Now, he might, you know, some people have said, well, he shouldn't approach it that way. Well, you know what? Simon Wilson basically did lie. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and he was caught, and here you go. But I just think they have a lot to answer for, and it seems like their thing is duck and avoid. You know, I now hear that they're trying to take power back from some of the local government boards, like town planning. You know, where they certain plans have to come to Nassau to be approved. You know, things like that. If they're X amount of square footage. So what does that do to your economy? You know, so, I mean, all this he brought up about local government, he brought up about central government, he brought up about bringing Bahamians back into the fold, no matter, you know, F&Ms, PLPs, independence, whatever it is. We have a country to move forward, and I haven't seen that excitement since 92, 97, you know.
Well, like I told people on the weekend, if you heard that big rum, rum, rum in the background, that was the PIP starting up their engine. I think they got their campaign machine rolling already because, like I said, and I'll go ahead and say it now. 2 years ago on this very show, much to the chagrin of a lot of staunch Minnesites and Minnesota supporters, I said the best direction to go for the F&M would be a Pintard-led F&M, a Minnesota-led F&M is chalk at the polls for the PLP. They're walking on their hands with a brand new blue coat and a yellow tie, and here we go for another 5 years. Now they got to work for it, and I'm not saying that they cannot repeat as government, but they have to work for it, and there's also a good chance that they get defeated. Now we play the game. Now we see how it pans out. Now city season has started.
Numbers are the key. Think about it, and this is what I say to people. I mean, you know, let's say you get twins in Abaco. I'm just using an example. You win one in Eleuthera. You win four or five out of Grand Bahama, maybe five. I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt. You know, you look. So you're talking to seven seats right there. You know, let's look at Long Island, eight seats. All you have to do is pull 12 seats out of Nassau and you are the government of the Bahamas. You know, and looking at Nassau, there are more than 12 of the sitting government seats that are up for grabs, my friend.
And I'll be honest with you. A few years back in 2019 and in 2018, 2019, 2020, Mr. Davis was in the same position. And we saw him going from being a non-factor in the House of Assembly with a minuscule opposition to gaining momentum, to doing the right press tours and press releases and photo ops. And all of a sudden, the wave, the brave was born, and it ran. Yep. And so, obviously, if not, why not? It's like football. It's a copycat game. And I'm not saying Mr. Pindall is copying everything out of the playbook of Mr. Davis, but he's kind of, you know, taking some of the same steps that Mr. Davis did that got him to become prime minister. He's not taking some of those same steps. And he's come out with a major victory within the party over a one-time prime minister.
Yep. You know, and when you have the backing, and, you know, people talk about, okay, we know that the Ingram era is over. We know
and
that.
As of the weekend, we know, so is the menace. And call me petty, yeah, call me salty. Yeah, I told you I was right here on the show.
And I'm going to say it in a good way. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but these people still carry a lot of weight in the party. I mean, Hubert Alexander Ingram is probably one of the most well-known prime ministers that we've ever had. But he still carries a lot of weight in this country. You know, and I talk about Nassau. Look at the road work that cost him the 2012 general election. But look at the vision he had. Where would Nassau be right now without that road work? You know, you look at Abaco and you look at our infrastructure with the power station, you look at the government clinic, you look at the government complex, you know, at least you can see and feel and touch what they did. So I say that because I'm glad to see that we have Michael C. Pintard as our leader, but he has the support and the backing of the majority of that old regime and the new regime and, you know, even some of the menace regime. I mean, it was seen that night.
Well, obviously it's undeniable right now that Pintard and the FNM have traction.
They do. And right now the PLP's losing traction. Look what's going on with the shantytown demolition. You see, everything is pretty much on hold after Abaco, that debacle, you know, that they went in and knocked everything down, but then didn't clean it up, and we had fires, and it's still not cleaned up to this day. You know, you're still waiting. We're still waiting on a report from Environmental Health on the diesel leak, you know, that happened in our town. You know, so, I mean, it, and not just that, but, you know, the shortfall in the budget. You know, they're not generating the money. I mean, even rumors come out that I've heard of local government elections might be called early in November. Why? You know, I mean, why not wait until we're done in January? You know, I mean, that's when it's supposed to be, you know, and a lot of this is rumor. But here it is. You know, you have talk and, you know, I've even heard people say, hey, Brave might call an early election. Is that possible? Do you think he, you know, can that happen?
It's been done before, so now it's part of the playbook. I mean, not many people will, but, you know, if it's to his advantage, I'm sure he'll think about it.
Right. I agree with you, but I'm just saying, you know, you have people speculating, you have rumors, but I do say getting back to the traction being lost by the PLP, because there are things that are still getting neglected. I'm in Nassau, and it's sad to see that the traffic and trying to drive down certain roads and... You know, I'm like, man, I know we got potholes in Abaco, and I know we're dealing with, you know, situations over there. And I look at Nassau, and I'm like, man, what's going on? But then, not knocking the Luther Exuma, but you're getting new roads, you're getting this, you're getting that. You know, things are happening, which is good.
Well, you know, Chester can make sure Exuma's straight. With $1.2 billion worth of investment in Exuma, you know they can get roads.
Well, I would hope that any government that allows investment to come in, some of that should be put towards infrastructural needs, you know, no matter what it is, electrical, road work, you know, if you're coming to invest in our country and you're going to be using X, Y, and Z, you should be able to, you should have to, you know, help with some sort of, you know, infrastructure, whatever it may be, in the heads of an agreement or whatever, but you can't continue to allow everybody to get duty free on the Hotel Encouragement Act, and that's all they're getting. You know, they need to be putting back into the economy, not just with jobs, but with solar or investing in solar or helping out with, you know, offsetting some of the expense with road works, you know, whatever it may be.
All right, let's get to some Abaco questions, Roscoe. Because we do have some Abaco questions. Saw yesterday, got some video in, that there was another fire near Spring City, if I'm not mistaken, or near Spring City.
On, it was on SC Bootle Highway. It was started by the road, and it was burning to the west. I have not got any more updates on it. Nothing that they could do about it because it was so far, you know, it was out in the bush. But they were able to make sure that the, you know, people's homes were not
affected,
you know, damaged, affected. But also the government needs to address the two shanty towns on the agricultural land, because that's becoming a big issue with these fires, because we cannot get our fire trucks down these roads because we're not going to break an axle, you know, going down because the roads are so bad. But here you have Bahamians that are leasing out agricultural land, which should not be happening. And so, yes, there was another fire that happened. And then today there was another boat fire down in Guanaquil, which, somebody got minor burns and that, but it was a local. He was able to get off the boat, but, they are, it seems like it's a never ending story now is fires.
Very interesting. The fire scenarios seem like we got some fire bugs around the place.
Yeah. Well, you know, Naughty, I give my hats off to the Marsh Harbor Volunteer Fire Department and the group. And it's just not Marsh Harbor. All the Keys, everywhere in Abaco is volunteer besides the airport. But you got to take your hats off to these people. And I must say that Abaconians as well as Bahamians have come together and really supported the volunteer firefighters after what we just went through, you know, which is great. And maybe it might be buying hoses or nozzles, replacing new radios in the fire trucks, whatever it may be, wildland gear, you know, things that we need. It's great to see that coming out of our community. You know, the one thing I guess we'd like to see is to get a little more people from Murphytown and Dundastown and other areas of the central Marsh Harbor Spring City district to come and volunteer, you know, so at least if something happens and there's a fire in Murphytown or Dundastown and we have a driver, at least we can then say, hey, you know, X, Y, and Z, meet Ozzy at the fire, you know, so at least you have the people waiting there so we can get the hoses out and do whatever. But we have a good group of volunteers, and I thank God that we all come together, you know, and it's just not Marsh Harbor. It's that whole Abaco area, the Keys involved too.
All right. Now here comes a question that really annoys me to have to ask. Because I know about 7 weeks ago on this show, 6 or 7 weeks ago, we started talking about an oil leak or a diesel leak in Abaco. Now we have friend of the show, you know, Daphne DeGregory Mialis, talking about another oil leak. Is that the same leak or is that a different leak?
I would think it's the same leak. I have not heard of another oil leak or diesel leak in Abaco besides the one that has been, you know, addressed. And it was so funny. All them fires started and, you know, it's like I couldn't address that issue anymore because it was more dealing with fires. But there was still diesel coming out of the drainage system after the fires. We went by there and looked, but they removed the booms, you know, that type. I see that they've done some test wells or test holes on the property. A gentleman, I will not call his name, but he owns a piece of property next to him, and he dug a hole 4 feet down into his quarry, and there was remnants of diesel. So how far is that spread in different areas of our town? You know, is it under the roads? Is it, you know, going across to people's property, which we know it is? So I'm pretty sure it's the same thing, but then again, why is the minister not released anything on this? I mean, they have to have some sort of report compiled by now addressing this issue. I mean, it was brought up in the House of Assembly. What are they doing to rectify it? And that's where how long does it have to continue going before we get an answer on what is gonna happen. What are they gonna do to make it right?
Well, I tell you.
I mean, what's the only other option? It's not like.
I mean, now I think that if we look at this, the corporate entity that the equipment involved belongs to needs to step in and do the right thing.
I agree with you, but what I mean, as a local government practitioner, I can make people aware, but it's up to central government because we're a branch of central government. Listen to me. If I was just a regular citizen, I would have maybe brought up a lawsuit against.
Now, is it into the wetlands, Roscoe? Because now I'm thinking if a farmer's digging in the ground, how far away did you say?
No, it about 30 feet from the property, but it's not just affecting their property now. It's affecting, you know, other areas. It's, you know, and you still have it coming out the drainage system. Into the harbor. Now it's not as bad as what it was, but it's still coming out, and they have no booms there to, you know, to protect it anymore. They've removed all the booms.
I just cannot believe that 6 to 8 weeks ago we talked about this, and it's getting worse, and it's not even getting close to getting better.
Well, that's why I say the government is failing us in a lot of areas, Naughty, and this is one area. It's like, what was that, in Adelaide, that big diesel leak out in the wetlands? Didn't they have that rectified pretty quick?
Let me double check. I think they've got it in order, yeah, under control. Right. There was one.
Right. So they had the main diesel leak pipe. Well, you know, I'm not saying that it's of the same nature, but, you know, if it's still going into the harbor, it's still affecting, you know, our ecosystem. Something needs to be done.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, I don't want things to be affected long term. If we could avoid it long term damage,
right,
or as minimal long term damage as we could, then, you know, that's the route we should have taken.
Yep. I mean, it's disappointing, but I mean, you can only continue to bring it to the people's attention.
But now, at some point, when you look at the real world, and that's why I say the Bahamas is not a real place all the time. Major corporation like that would have been held accountable and would have been brought out in front of all and sundry to reconcile this egregious act.
I can't argue with you on that.
Because now you're not doing your due diligence. 8 weeks in, 6 to 8 weeks in, we shouldn't be complaining about the same oil spill or diesel leak.
Exactly.
That company should have had it fixed.
Should have had the tank removed out of the ground and replaced with a new tank.
And certain entities around here need to stop getting the kid glove treatment because of the friends, lovers, families, homies, cronies connection. And that's on both sides of the political divide. That needs to stop.
No, I concur with you on that. Right now, this administration has been dropping the ball on just about everything that they do. It's like they take two steps forward, but then they take 8 steps back.
All buck up, go.
You think, like I brought up about the town planning, you know, that they want plans to come to Nassau to be approved. So I use an example. You have Baker's Bay that might have $30 or $40 million worth of plans to be approved. Now they got to come to Nassau and be approved. So then that holds up. And I will tell you a story. A friend of mine who's an architect applied in January for the right way to do it. He finally got his plans in the beginning of May, and that was doing it the right way. So you're talking 4 months on a holdup of plans. So you're talking $30 million that does not trickle down into our economy right now through contractors, you know, whatever it may be. So that there, I mean, it seems to me, why are you trying to bring everything back to Nassau? It's central control. You've already taken business license from us. So, you know, and I use this because somebody can approve a business license in Nassau for a liquor store and it be across from a school or a church because they don't know the area. It's frustrating. And that was done years ago. But now you have town planning that are holding up that are going to have to come to Nassau now. So you can only approve X, Y, and Z in Abaco. I mean, why are we trying to bring everything back to Nassau? Is it control? I mean, is that what it is? That's the only thing that I can believe. They don't want to give up that control.
Boy, I tell you. I'm gobsmacked that we still have issues with this multitude of oil issues all of a sudden. Multiple oil, and Texas chiming in. This is now multiple oil breach incidents from this same company, multiple locations in the Bahamas. What is the state of their infrastructure? And we're getting set to hand them more power, oil-related contracts? Boy.
Exactly, you know.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hello?
Yep, Talking Heads, how are you?
Yeah, am I on?
Yeah, go ahead, Bremen.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you and your special guests on today. You know, my heart just sinks because when we all over the Rankin, like the English saying says, all the Rankin means you're all over the world, touting the fact that we need this, that, and the other because of the effects of climate change on Appalachian nation like the Bahamas, and then we're not doing our homework right at home. I mean, these instances of oil, and like the gentleman said, that, you know, the oil, our water table is about 3 feet below the surface, and therefore that oil seeps down, like you said, about 3 feet. It means it's going to contaminate the freshwater lands as well. And so these matters have to be dealt with diligently. And I call upon all the authorities in this country, whenever there's a catastrophic thing like an oil spill, get it done quickly and properly. We cannot wait because all of the land is porous. The water table is 3 feet below sea level, ground level. And then also that permeates out into the ocean. And, you know, we have all of these secrecies about the fines that are levied against any kind of omission on our particular land and sea. Like, for example, we yet don't know what was the charge levied against the people who were the responsible for the oil spill in Exuma. And that should not be a secret. That is our land. That's our country. And we, as every Bahamian, we need to be concerned about every inch of our archipelagic nation because we're only borrowing this from future generations, and we cannot mess it up, leave it all devastated, and expect for it to be livable into the future. And I call, you know, the fact about what's going on in Abaco now, and I had a long discussion with Daphne earlier this
afternoon. And just let me interject. Folks, this is Joe Darvill, all right? It sounded like Bremen at first, but I wanted to interject. Uncle Joe, how you doing? On a personal note, you good?
Yeah, man, I'm doing great.
And come on, you should be like, nephew, this me, then I know exactly it's you. But yeah, continue, man, and I got a couple of questions for you when you're done.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're all over the world, and we're begging for money in order to shore up our country against the sea level rise and climate change, the heat and the hurricanes and all of that. And what has happened as far as fires are concerned, they are caused by negligence because people are dumping into the pine forest, into the land, and these things have spontaneous combustion because you have all of this combustible stuff in the pine forest, what we call Caribbean bracken fern, and when it's ever hot enough, they spontaneously catch a fire simply to clear out the forest. But now they've been exacerbated because of all the dumping in the forest and all the stuff that left there that attracts the heat from the sun, and you have the spontaneity of combustion, and therefore the enormous fires that are created. They are not caused by climate change. The fires that we have in the Bahamas are not, whether Nassau or Abaco or wherever, they are not caused by climate change. They are caused by negligible and irresponsible dumping in our forests and the areas, like your guest said, they combust into the areas where you can't even get a fire truck, and so they literally have to burn out. And so these particular issues with respect to oil spillage, et cetera, we need to have a contingent from the Ministry of the Environment, the Ministry of Works, on every single island that can be, wherever this, you have all of this kind of bunkering of fuel, et cetera, ready to go to any particular situation and to deal with it. And if we're ever getting any revenue from climate change, from our carbon credits or our whatever you call it here, you know, our whatever we're going to gain from it, we got to invest this in the protection of our environment, not to enrich a handful of oligarchy in the country where they
Correct.
Benefit from it all, and we leave our environment just subjected to any type of ill treatment, and then we pass on a devastated little country to a future generation. So let me stop there and listen to what you want to ask me.
Now, I you covered it, man. You covered it all. And then I just wanted to say, and just to this day for the record, what are the results are off that Equinor spill? Are you guys still having to deal with that years later?
That's another thing. Now, I have a lot of respect for the Minister of Environment because he has promised many times to come down so that he and I can go and see how that was neglected. After they had cleaned up the frontage area and then they moved into the forest proper, then they were, and then the vegetation started to come up. They were told by the administration of that then company, I don't know if it's Equinor now or somebody else, but the previous company that owned it, that they could make shortcuts. Now, this information, you know, I didn't just see with my eyes. This came from people who are managing the staff, who are cleaning the area. They're all, you know, don't do like you did in the front there. Just, you know, go ahead and do this little bit and pretend that you're cleaning up and leave it. And we know that there are areas in there that are still devastated with oil, with the residue of crude oil on the ground. And we know that it's seeped into the water table because we took samples from the water table, from wells that were there. And then when we went and they came up with petroleum, we sent it away to the greatest labs in the United States, and they came back that this is saturated with petroleum. And then, of course, the wetlands back there were inundated with oil. Now, we couldn't even go in there to clean that up because that's, you know, you would do more damage to the wetlands there if you try to clean up the oil. And then when you have no rain and then it settles down, you could see the sheen on the mud. And then when the rain comes again, it's a sheen all over the water. So all of those things, you know, we have examined, and I pass this information on ad nauseum to the powers that be, but yet they take the word of the company that the place was cleaned up. You have a mound of aggregate there, which is about 100 feet wide, on 60 feet deep, and about 70 feet high. And when they went to clean that up, because the people who owned that were complaining that, you know, they could not sell that aggregate anymore. They cleaned the frontage part of it, but they left the back part of it saturated with oil. You take a stick, 4 inches, you poke it into the aggregate there, it comes out soaked with oil. And then one of the things that I noticed, you know, we're not fooling around. We are environmentalists, and we are concerned about this country and making it pure for the future generation like we got it from them. But you go in there and you see what you call the bracken fern roots. They are dug up and they're lying on the ground. Now, that was really puzzling until we realized what happened was that the pigs, the wild pigs that were left there after the storm, they would dig up the bracken fern roots and they eat them like they eat potatoes. And when we found that they were not eating them, we broke them open, and sure enough, they were saturated with oil.
Oh,
and if
God.
You go there today in the back of that mound that they did not clean off, that and you dig into the ground, you would find bracken fern roots saturated with oil. And so when my powers that be this country, under whatever government, and it started out under the FNM, so I'm not just blaming the PLP for it, but both governments are negligent in this regard in terms of not even telling us yet what was the compensation to the environment in the Bahamas, to our clean forest as it was before, and to our people for the restoration of our forests and our wetlands in that area. And so these things we cannot tolerate as a people, no matter what government is in power, whether the FNM or the PLP, and I don't care because I have voted for both. And whatever one I feel is going to do the best for the country, that would be the party I vote for, because I have never, ever attended a political party, because I look out, see what the individuals are doing, and I will vote for whichever one I feel is a better one for the country. And so we really need to put pressure on the people in parliament, because, you know, one of the things, and I want to say here, a lot of the people sitting in that House of Parliament, they are ignorant about too many things that need to be thought about in this country. They go in there, and I don't know what their motivation is, but they get in there, and, you know, they pontificate for a while, and they've been there for 4 years or less, and then they come out, and you don't hear anything from them afterwards. And so that type of political entities that we have, they must be changed. We need people who are concerned daily about our precious environment. And, you know, we're going to get a couple billion dollars from what we do, for example, in keeping our islands clean and our ocean clean. We need to reinvest that in keeping it clean for our people as well. So I'll stop there.
All right, man. I appreciate you chiming in, Uncle Joe. I really do, man. And continue to keep the fight up. Continue to set the good example and be a mentor for us all when it comes to the environment, man, and a champion for the environment. I appreciate you so much, man. Thanks for chiming in.
Okay, brother. God bless you, and God bless you people in Abaco who are trying so hard. And please advocate for a fire department there run by the government. Abaco puts an enormous amount of money, just like Grand Bahama, into the treasury. And you should have all of these facilities that you need. Just don't sit there and hoping that something will be done. Demand that it be done.
Good stuff, Uncle Joe. We'll talk soon. Appreciate you.
Okay, brother. Good afternoon.
Let's get to the other call then, Mr. Producer. Talking heads. All right, you got to call us back. Let me get the text lines real quick, Roscoe, before we wrap it up. Naughty, I agree with the caller. Not a few benefit. A few shouldn't benefit. Make sure all Bahamians benefit. I'm afraid this is now multiple. Yeah, we read that already. Let me get this one here. Naughty, crime is soaring out of control, and the PLP are worrying about Pintard speech. Go figure. Go ahead, Roscoe.
They have a lot. They have a lot they need to concentrate. Don't worry about that for them. They need to concentrate on running this country, and I appreciate Mr. Joe coming on and talking about the environment, because it does affect us in a lot of ways.
Yep.
You know, even with that boat that was sunk out at Sandy Point, the barge on the reef.
Right.
You know.
And that's still there, right?
It just goes to show what, you know, people say I complain, but it's just keeping people informed.
Right.
Of what is happening.
And I think that's a problem. I think that's why a lot of information is suppressed, because, you know, people, this administration doesn't want to have to answer questions every day. No Freedom of Information Act, no Procurement Act. It's what they give you that they want us to take. But there are other people that are going to ask the questions and ask why. And it's our right to ask why. It's our dollar. They work for us.
Exactly. And that's where I think they forget, because even MP White brought it up in the House of Assembly about the leak, and MP Cornish got up and said something which he didn't really know yet, but we won't get into that.
Anyway.
But, you know, at least it's on record, but what's going on? I mean, what actions, how much more of our land needs to be contaminated?
Destroyed before we get to it. Let's get to this last call. Talking heads.
Berg, man.
Talking heads. Hey, St. Pete, what's going on, man?
Man, guess what?
You've been missing in action for a couple of weeks, man.
May 1st, I was in a bad accident, man. My car flipped over.
Stop it, man.
Man, I got a broken shoulder. I had to get reconstructed on my knee.
I told Purdy, me and Purdy were talking. I said, Purdy, man, something going on with St. Pete, because we normally hear it at St. Pete.
Look at the jaws of life. They had to cut me. I spent 13 days in intensive care, and I just released from the rehab.
And you called it me, man. I feel special, man. And we're glad to hear from you, St. Pete. We was worried about you, man.
Man, I thank God I'm alive, boy. The car flipped twice.
Better was on that same town behind it, on the bridge?
No, in St. Petersburg. I had to get up the bridge.
All right. But you good now, though.
I'm walking with a cane. I had to do reconstructed knee surgery. Broken collarbone.
Mm.
You know, thank God I'm alive. You know,
get that rest, that R&R, man. That rest and relaxation. Get some pamperation, man.
Yeah, man. You know, thank God, you know.
I expect to hear from you every day now since you convalescent.
Yeah, I'm going to get back. You know, I'm home, you know, just, you know, taking it. You know, I got a around the club nice, you know.
All also, right.
But, you know, I'm alive. That's the most important thing, you know.
And I'm glad you coming on, man. I'm glad you're improving.
Yeah. You know, I'm back home now. I'm going to start buzzing up, you know what I'm saying?
Make sure I stay in touch, man. We were worried about you. We did say we're saying Petey must be MIA. Pretty say you might have found you a young little athlete type and then disappeared. And I was like, anyway, maybe that is the case.
All right, man. Tell Pretty, I say, what's up, man?
All right, we will, man. And we love you. We appreciate you, man. And get well soon, all right?
All right, man. Y'all be safe.
All right, take care, St. Pete. Roscoe, we got to get to the news, man. But I appreciate you chiming in as always. Great stuff.
Thank you, Naughty.
Congratulations again on your victory or on your position. And again, we'll do it again on Monday. And hopefully we'll have Daphne so we can all chop it up on Monday.
I did speak to Daphne and she said she'll come on next Monday. So that'll be good. Again, thank you, Bahamas and Abaco. And thanks for having me on, Naughty. I really appreciate it because you have kept Abaco in the news. And that's the most important thing.
There you go, man. Well, you know, it's important to me, man. Abaco and Freeport are near and dear to me, so I want to make sure that you get the representation you all need.
All right, my brother. Be blessed and have a good day. Talk soon,
my brother. You be safe, too. Appreciate you, man. All right, Mr. Producer, let's get that break in, and we'll get to the news. Flip side of the break, we'll be in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be talking sports. Pearlie will be in the building. The Monday, June 3rd edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Are you tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, yearning for a relaxing getaway without the headaches of international travel? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Escape to paradise without leaving home with our limited time, two fly free offer for Bahamas residents. Whether you're craving adventure, seeking to reconnect with your roots, or simply yearning to unwind in secluded shores, the Family Islands has something for everyone. But you better act fast, because this incredible two fly free offer is only available until June 30th. Don't let this opportunity slip away. So why wait? Book your trip today. Escape the ordinary, discover the extraordinary, and experience the magic of the Family Islands. Visit BahamasResidence.com for more information and start planning your ultimate island getaway today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Nachi is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
We're back at you on the Monday, June 3rd edition of Talking Heads. We're into the 5 o'clock hour talking sports now. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. Pearly should be chiming in short order. So we should hear from the Pearlmeister shortly. So look out for him, Mr. Producer. I know he'll be chiming in. But let's check out our Today in Sports History, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny. And on this day, and big up to the crew out there at Naughty Johnny's, man. Don't forget happy hour every Wednesday and Friday at Naughty Johnny's, 5 to 7 p.m. Always worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza. On this day, June 3rd, in sports history, 1851, the New York Knicks became the first, or Knickerbockers became the first baseball team to wear uniforms. They wore straw hats, white shirts, and blue trousers. 1932, Lou Gehrig became the first American League player to hit 4 home runs in one game. 1980, ESPN began televising College World Series games. 1987, the Chicago Cubs and the Houston Astros combined for 3 grand slams in one game. 1989, the Houston Astros beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-4. The game lasted 22 innings and took over 7 hours to play. 2003, Sammy Sosa of the Chicago Cubs broke a bat when he grounded out against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. The bat he was using was a cork bat. 2021, it was announced that the United States Football League, USFL, would return with its inaugural season in April 2022. Sports quote of the day, to succeed, you need to find something to hold on to, something to motivate you, something to inspire you. Tony Dorsett, one of the greats right there, running back from the Cowboys. All right, so we got today in sports history out of the way. Pearly zoomed in yet? I'll keep an eye out for the Pearl. He should be zooming in. Like I said, and if afternoon baseball is on, well, you know, it might take longer. Pearly loves that afternoon baseball for sure. But he should be zooming in right now, so look out for him. And we'll slide to the local scene, the local sports scene, all brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And listen, man, it's all about them Angry Whoppers. Oh, my God. It's time to get angry with Burger King Nassau. You got the Angry Whopper, the Angry Chicken. You could even get angry for breakfast as well with a breakfast sandwich. But listen, man, if you haven't tried it, try the Angry Whopper today and the Angry Chicken. It's all good. Waiting on you at your favorite Burger King Nassau location. All right, let's check out the local sports scene. And then after that, you know, we'll go international. And let me know when Pearly chimes in, but we'll start at home. Paul Smith runs huge personal best. He becomes the second Bahamian to run under 49 seconds. Bahamian Shaquem Hall Smith won the men's 400 hurdles at the HBCU Pro Classic Edwin Moses Legends Meet at the B.T. Harvey Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia on Friday. Hall Smith ran a huge personal best time of 48.79 seconds, just missing the automatic qualifying time for the Olympics of 48.7 seconds. And Bahamian Devin Charlton won the women's 100 hurdles at the Racers Grand Prix meet at Jamaica's National Stadium in Kingston, Jamaica on Saturday night. She finished in 12.64 seconds. And that was quite the meet in Jamaica as well. A lot of talent at that meet as well. I think Noah Lyles was on that race, if I'm not mistaken, as well. He got beat by Oblique Seville. That was a big upset there. So, yeah. If you like track and field, it was a busy weekend, and Devin Charlton's still doing her thing. Local soccer scene, Windsor Lady Dragons win National High School Soccer. The 2024 Samuel P. Haven Junior Bahamas National High School Championships were held over the weekend at the Roscoe A.L. Davis Soccer Field And the stage was set with the Windsor School battling the Anatole Rogers Timberwolves in the boys' championship game, and the Lyford Key International School Lady Dragons taking on the St. Andrews Hurricanes in the girls' championship game. Windsor and the Lady Dragons came out on top in a highly anticipated showdown. There were some exhilarating matches in the boys' game, in particular, left spectators on the edge of their seats. Lady Dragons had a remarkable display of dominance as they claimed a stunning 7-0 victory. Meanwhile, in the senior boys' division, there was an intense battle between Windsor and the Timberwolves, which ultimately led to a thrilling shootout. Windsor emerged triumphant with a 4-2 win in penalty kicks after 1-1 stalemate at the end of regulation. So some high-quality soccer being played. Good stuff. And finally, Miller's remarkable journey continues. Franco Miller's path from the Bahamas to college basketball at Florida Gulf Coast University and representing the Bahamas as a member of the senior men's national basketball team is a testament to his dedication and talent. Great story in today's Guardian. Be sure to check that out, all right? And he's moved along, and every move he's made has been a good one. Never know. May see him in the NBA one day as well, too. Sounds like we got Purdy. I hear the coughing of hot wings straight out of the air fryer. Spicy.
Actually, no. I'm actually in the car parked on the side just talking to you in a particular parking lot.
So you coughing on smog.
So what's up?
What's going on? You had a busy weekend, man.
Yeah. Pretty fun, pretty busy, pretty exciting, pretty successful weekend.
Hopefully your sports teams can do you justice that way.
My Dodgers got 2 out of 3, so I can't feel too bad.
Your Dodgers. You're going to open talk in baseball without referring to the best team in baseball with the best record? The New York Yankees?
Boy, you know, I noticed last year you were very quiet about your Yankees because they sucked.
Mm-hmm.
So you mouth hard. And I understand that. But then I think Baltimore sweeped on the last time you played them, right?
That was the last time. But we're talking today. Where are we at right now today as we talk?
Lead you got.
We good. What about y'all?
We're in first place.
Okay.
I think we have the biggest lead, if I'm correct.
The biggest lead. You always try to find some sort of silver lining to try and say, you know, well, we got a bigger lead. No. We're 42-19.
Yeah, but you have a 3-game lead over the Orioles, which could be lost in a week.
And you're 38-23.
But we have what? How many game lead? 6.5-game lead.
Correct, but 42.
We're
4 games better than you. We're 4 games better than you, Purdy.
You're 3 games better than the team you have to beat to make the playoffs, not us. You don't have to beat us to make the playoffs.
That's fine.
The team that we have to beat to make the playoffs, we're doing that. We're all over the Padres, the Giants, Diamondbacks. I mean, done 10 games out. The Colorado Rockies done 15 games out.
Don't worry. Them same Padres could come and give you all some business at the end of the year. Watch.
Yeah. When and how?
You stay right there.
When and how?
Padres been playing good ball lately, Purdy.
Have they really?
7-3 in the last 10. They just lost one yesterday to Kansas City, but they took a series from Kansas City who's been playing well.
Okay. We notice who they're playing, right? What is Kansas City's record? Are we looking at what their record is?
36-25, second in the AL Central, which is only 4 games back, but was only 2 games behind your Dodgers record of 38-23. Just wanted to let you know that.
All right, that's not
so
a problem.
Don't scoff at the Kansas City Royals. They're not chopped liver.
No, they're not chopped liver. They're just not the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the world champions will be coming out of L.A. That's all I have to say.
Purdy, you're saying it, but you're not saying it as confident as you said other things.
I'm very confident. I don't really worry about what they're doing in June. I'm more concerned about what they're doing in September and October.
And you know we're getting Garrett Cole back in short order. You know that, right? Even though we've been 8-2 in our last 10 games.
We're going to get Bobby Miller and Walker Buehler back. We're going to get Bobby Miller back soon.
Winners of 5 in a row.
Yeah, that's good. You're beating up on the Giants. I mean, that's fine.
That's okay, buddy. We'll take it. And I got a text chiming in real quick. Naughty, Angel Reese was fined for talking to the press. She's disgusting and needs to leave the WNBA because Caitlin is the only reason why she's on the map. I don't think that's a fair statement there, Texter.
You know what I find very interesting? They had a major discussion about that this morning on ESPN. And they were talking about privilege. And Caitlin, they're giving Caitlin too much special privileges. I think the guard from
Chicago, who gave it a bump check. I like that. Welcome to the league, baby. Let's play.
And said to her, what do you, I mean, take away the threes. What does she bring to the game?
And I think, Texter, with the same conviction that you'd like to chime in, you know, waxing poetic about Caitlin, shouldn't you make some noise about the fact that she only scored 3 points yesterday?
But I ain't gonna make that noise. The defense was all on her case. They took away the three-point shot from her, and that was it. Shut her down. And see, you got to remember one thing. Once they figure out what to do, that's going to happen a lot more often.
Man, oh, man.
In the same mode, see, when you look at it, at my girl, she's not supposed to be the major, because her job is rebounding, and she's double rebounds, double figures in rebounds, 12, 13 rebounds every game. Every game. Averaging 11 points a game. That's 10, double-double every night.
I mean, I'm looking at the last go-round, man. I mean, Caitlin's not scoring. 11 points and then 3 points in the last two games. I mean, what's going on with that?
Because they're taking the three-point away from her. She's not playing a bunch of slow college girls. She's playing all these kids.
And Angel Reese had 10, 1, and 13 in that game. 10 points, 13 rebounds, 1 assist. I mean, in 30 minutes, she's playing.
What?
And you see, Mike, you see Cardoso quietly with 11 and 6. I mean, that Sky team in a couple of years should be all right.
Coming off an injury, they're going to be all right. They're going to be quite fine. Let's need one more scorer, one more shooter.
I don't know why. I mean, Brink is doing her thing out there in L.A. with the Sparks, but she's taking her lumps playing through it. Reese is playing through it. Cardoso playing through it. But why is Caitlin being handled with such kid gloves?
Because she is the Larry Bird, the great.
No, that's the difference. That's the difference, though. Larry Bird came in there with a serial killer mindset and a chip on his shoulder out of this world, and he dominated. They tried all this ish with Larry, and Larry still killed them.
Then they're going to put the credit on her to get the charter saying that when she came into the league, said sad that the WNBA players still got to be flying on air, flying commercial. And say the next week, charters were signed. So they've given attributing that change to her.
Oh, God.
Right. The brother who I like on ESPN pissed me off and says, it's true, so embrace it. Embrace the moment and get what you get out of it. Basically saying, ride donkey.
Now, see, this is where, I mean, Texter, I don't know if you intentionally just trying to be satirical and crack me and Pearly up, or if you are serious. But check this one out. Naughty, you're absolutely right. Caitlin is not scoring because she's playing against men who are secretly dressed as women. We need to check some of these girls' engines. We need to see what's under the hood. You have taken it to a new level. I don't know. You're a Caitlin sexual or a Clark sexual, but you are to what Bron sexuals are to LeBron. You are to Caitlin Clark, Texter. My God.
Caitlin Clark is finding out now, you have in college elite, good, average, not so average players. All the elite players now playing in the WNBA, so that the faster, stronger, and bigger players are now in. You ain't playing against a donkey guard that you could blow past. You're playing against the best player of most of the college teams.
Listen,
so
you got to look
out of Europe.
You got to look at the WNBA. 12 of the 36 players drafted have been cut, including some first rounders, because they go with veteran players that are played overseas, like you say, or whose games have developed later on, or who's fit the WNBA better than they did in college. So they play compo every night.
You can't come there half-stepping.
I think you've got a league unified against the Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi were doing at the WNBA draft. And when she got drafted, they made the point, it's not going to be that easy in the first year. You know, people just ain't going to serve you up like college. You got to earn it. You got to cut your teeth in the WNBA.
Pull across the logo and start shooting. Because when you pull across the logo, you 6'3", a 6'5", guard waiting on you right there to jump in your face and stop you from hitting that jumper.
Correct.
You ain't fast enough to get past them because they can move it just as fast or faster than you. So you have to learn to adjust your game. See, Angel Reese's game is an inside game. So she's used to being battling with girls bigger than her, stronger than her, and getting rebounds. She's a rebound hog. So what you gonna do?
Gotta look at it, man. Gotta look at it. I mean, I think some good rivalries are coming down the pike in the WNBA for years to come. But we can't crown Caitlin Clark yet, is all I'm saying.
No, you can't. And they're trying to make it. No, earn it. Earn it. Larry Bird earned it.
Oh, my God. You are serious, Texter. Oh, my goodness. Naughty and Pearly, I don't remember them shoulder-checking Jordan and pushing him down as a rookie. This is overkill. So you didn't see what they did to him in the Boston Garden as he dropped 63 as they beat up on him, mate, as a rookie.
Oh, you didn't see what Detroit did to him with Joe Dumars?
Not as a rookie, but yeah. And
what Joe Mars did to him over the couple of years coming into that. But as a rookie, no, Joe Mars didn't do that to him then, but he did it to him as a player. He get boxed around plenty.
Oh, my goodness. One thing for sure, we won't see Caitlin putting up the You Can't See Me sign in the WNBA.
And you also got to understand, Jordan came into the NBA with a national title. Did Caitlin?
No, she choked again.
Did Caitlin?
No, okay. She choked again. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
What's up, Nordy? This is from Petersburg again, man. Hey, how you doing, Purdy?
Purdy, St. Petersburg, been missing.
What's happening?
No, listen, he been in some incident, man. He had a wreck, had a rollover, broken collarbone, knee surgery. Now he got nurses around the clock 24 hours, but he said he's sexy and cute and he happy.
They're the use of joys of life, man.
Where? This happened on the bridge?
No, off the bridge.
Well, which highway?
It's off 275.
Oh, man.
Man, this happened. Were you in the May 1st, man. May 1st, May Day. And then I was in intensive care for 13 days, and I had to go to the rehab, man. You know, I'm doing better now, but thank God I'm alive, man.
Thank God for life, dude.
And who you telling, man? Look, I see in the stars, but look how flip over, man. Whew.
Did you do something wrong, or was the other driver?
No. I'm in the right, man. You know, said then their insurance tried to contact me, you know, try to settle, but you know, I got me a lawyer, a good lawyer, you know, so they you know. Man, I'm gonna get a good payoff, but you know, saying, you know, life is more important than, you know, saying.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're okay though. But then, you know.
Yeah, man, I'm okay, man. I know y'all thought I MIA.
I didn't hear from you for a little while. I know.
It's been over a month, and I think I had just finished talking to y'all on May 1st, man. And right after that, like about 5:30.
Wow.
Man, look here. I'm lucky to be alive, man. You know, just thank God, you know.
Man, I'm so happy to hear you okay, bro. I keep you in my prayers, man. I'm so happy.
Yeah, man, I'm good, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but look at y'all here with Stephen A. Smith. Now, he's trying to be nice to carry over now, but obviously he done doggoed the man and tell the man, but he should quit and all this stuff. He's trying to, you know.
He did apologize. And he did come on and said, man, he says, I'm the one that they called him out. I dogged him, and he says I'm going to be the first one to say he turned his life around, and he is this and he is that. He was big about it. He was really big about it.
So what you think? Who you think will win it all, man?
I really believe Dallas can take it in five.
Go ahead.
I say Dallas in six, man. It ain't going to be no sweep, though.
I flip-flop, and I don't know if I go in Boston. I don't go to, if I'm going Dallas. Hey, I'll have an answer tomorrow. I won't sleep on it one more time.
I'm an L.A. fan. I'll never put for Boston. I don't give a damn.
All right. St. Pete, we got a question for you off the text line. Naughty, please ask St. Pete, what's the leaning building off 275?
What's the what?
What is the leaning building off of 275?
Leaning building?
The leaning building, the building that's leaning.
Which way, north or south?
Nah, they didn't say. They just say, ask St. Pete's, what's the leaning building off of 275?
If you're heading into Tampa, they got the they get the old immigration place right there before you get to the Kennedy exit. I know the building's over there, but I've seen none of them laying it. And then we head in south in St. Petersburg, they get the Raymond James Center. Ain't none of them laying it.
Wow.
You know, and they're building a new highway over there. But the only building on that, if you headed south, if you headed from St. Petersburg into Tampa, they get the old immigration building before you get to the airport. And they get the other building. You know, I don't see nothing. They're not laying it to me.
I think that's some text of being facetious.
Yeah, maybe a text of being facetious for sure. But St. Pete, man,
Are you trying to say if I'm from I live in that area, I should know?
I don't know. Maybe he was just asking. I mean, if they want to be more specific, we could ask. But we know you from St. Pete. It's all good.
Yeah, you got to say north or south. Because, you know, 275 running from Tampa into St. Petersburg, you're heading north. You take 275 straight into Tallahassee or Orlando.
Hold on. There may not be no leaning building. The texter just may be drunk.
He might be leaning.
Yeah, there you go. He may be leaning.
He may be mixing up that Ripley's, believe it or not, building out of Orlando, thinking he's on.
If you take 275 and go to I-4 to Orlando, you know, said I don't know, but right now this kind of time, you don't want to be on I-4 this kind of time. Yeah, man. But you know, let's thank God. You know, I'm here on Lakers for life. I never pull for Boston. I don't give a damn what number. I don't like nothing over no one.
They ain't gonna get 18 before we get 18. I'm telling you that now.
It's gonna be a good series, but I think the way Duke, Luka and Carrie playing now, I think it's gonna be a blood fest, man. If Dallas takes one of them,
you sounding like Trump.
You know. But you know, y'all think LeBron coming back?
Unfortunately, I hope not. Fortunately, I hope not. Unfortunately, I don't know. Well, you know, there's so many stories out there. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, but you know, say it is what it is, man. Yeah, I think he really want to see his son drop. That's I think when his son drop, I think he hang it up, man. But you know, love them Lakers.
We'll see, man.
Hey, Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
There you go, man. Yeah, man, from your mouth to God's ear. Feel better, man. That must be the meds you on, St. Petersburg. Feel better.
Cowboys
and Dolphins in the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Now you may be talking some sense.
All right. Hey, y'all be safe, man. Take care, bro.
Yeah, man. Sad day today, too, though, in Cowboy Land, Pearly. We lost Larry Allen. We lost a legend today.
Larry Allen was 62 or 52.
No, Larry Allen was 52 years old. Wow. Oh, man. Wow. On vacation in Mexico with his family. And Mr. Producer, I just sent you something. I need you to play for me, please. Yeah, 52 years old, vacationing with family. They're thinking it's a heart attack. But Larry Allen was one of the best to do it. Went to Sonoma State, came in and was part of that great wall of Dallas with the late Mark Tooney, Mark Stepnoski, Nate Newton, Eric Williams. Great, great line right there, man. And they used, really they used to punish people, man. Punish people to pieces.
300 pounds across the board, right?
Natural, yeah, straight across. He was one of the strongest players in the history of the NFL. Holds the bench press record, the NFL bench press record. Freakish athlete. There's a highlight that Romo throws an interception, and Larry Allen runs 60 yards down the field, tackles the guy before he gets to the end zone. He was that kind of player. He was a freak.
Vaguely remember that.
We got it, Mr. Producer. So right now I got Rich Eisen, his sentiments on the passing of Larry Allen. We'll go to that, and then you and I will pick it back up there, Pearly.
Just want to finish up hour two with something that shocked all of us. You told us right before we went on the air, TJ, you saw it online. Larry Allen, the Hall of Fame offensive lineman and guard, one of the best ever, Hall of Famer, the Dallas Cowboys, died at the age of 52 when he passed away on vacation in Mexico. Is that what happened?
Yeah, the Cowboys released a statement saying he passed away suddenly while on vacation with his family.
Just horrible.
Terrible.
One of the best Hall of Fame speeches in recent days. He was telling stories about how he knew he and his wife were right for each other. And, you know, he didn't say much in his playing days.
You didn't have to.
Right. I know, right? but that's why it was kind of surprising how terrific he was at, giving his Hall of Fame speech. It was wonderful to see him get his due. I, as you know, started my career in Northern California, in Redding, California, in 1994. And when I got there and I started meeting some folks from the area, they were telling me about this kid out of Butte College that the Dallas Cowboys had just gotten. His name was Larry Allen. He was good at Butte College, the community college where Jeff Tedford found Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And that's up there in Northern California. And they were talking about Larry Allen, like, watch this kid, watch him. And boy, do we watch him. I think if you had to name the top five favorite athletes, because he was an athlete, he would run down guys who seemed to be heading for the end zone on a pick six.
Now that clip is going viral right now against the Saints, where he goes all the way across the field and tackles him before he scores.
If you had to name the top five guys that John Madden loved talking about, I think Larry Allen's in the top five.
You might be right.
Pancake box.
Boom. I mean, honestly, yeah. He would talk about him and love his play and how vicious he was. He was nasty, but he was great. I'm sure he got a few turkey legs in his day.
Absolutely.
From Madden. And age 52, gone too soon.
You know, Emmett posted the video. I haven't been able to hear it. You're just watching it, and just he's
got to be broken up.
He's
yeah, I got to call Irv later.
He's destroyed right now. Yeah. I can't hear it. I'm going to listen to it during the break. But man, Larry Allen was a guy who bench pressed 700 pounds. He was as imposing and intimidating of a force as there ever was.
And as lovely a gentle giant and a teammate as clearly you're seeing the reaction of those who he won Super Bowls with. 14 seasons, two with the Niners as well. Larry Allen dying suddenly while on vacation at the age of 52, and we just wanted to send our condolences to his no doubt shocked and dismayed family and his extended family and the Cowboys family as well.
Yeah, much love to 73.
Tough one, Purdy. I got calls from Cowboy Nation all over, local and international. Larry was one of our favorites. He was a big, 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 big part of the Cowboy history, the Cowboy dynasty, and he will be missed. And definitely, like I said, one of the greatest to ever do it. Arguably one of the greatest left tackles ever to play the game, if not the greatest.
Yeah, yeah. I my sentiments, you know, it's a sad, shock day for you Cowboy fans and my Koopman condolences go to all the Cowboy Nation.
All right, now I gotta do my best Sam Acho impersonation, Pearly. You ready for me to do my best Sam Acho? I can let you chime in. I can let you hear the text first, and then I'll let you go, and then I'll chime in. Naughty, I'm disappointed in you and Pearly's take regarding Caitlin Clark. Both of your takes are not insightful. They're full of bias. If you watch the games, Caitlin is being hard fouled at every opportunity. The players get to take out their jealousy and frustration on her just because she's gotten a lot of media attention and getting casual people interested in the WNBA. It's easy to see, and it's not good basketball. Stop encouraging jealousy and bad play from these other WNBA players on Caitlin. But let me go, Purdy. First of all, Texter, I'm disappointed that you've sipped the Kool-Aid, the LeBron James Kool-Aid, of this overhyped Caitlin Clark. Great college scorer. Great college player, did not win twice in the finals despite all the hype. When she came to the WNBA, Diana Taurasi said on draft night, this is not college, you're going to have to earn your stripes. She's not the only one that went through it. They did it to Lisa Leslie before her. They did it to Candace Parker. They did it to Sue Bird. They did it to Taurasi. They did it to Cynthia Cooper back in the day. They did it to Cheryl Swoops. It's always been tough play in the WNBA. Always. One second, Purdy.
if you are a WNBA follower, if you watch their games, they play tough. Those women play rough basketball. And if you can't take the chafing, you're gonna get what she's getting. Bottom line is, you're not playing. Like I said, they are elite, they are good, they are average, and they're not so average players in the NCAA. You ain't playing the not so average. You ain't playing the good. You're playing the elite, and the elite players are quicker, faster, and stronger. So she getting boxed around until she get some. She gotta put on some more weight, and until she gets a better idea of how to handle it. That ain't no jealousy. It is welcome to the league. You ain't coming to take over the league. You gotta earn your right. And that's all that is.
And she's gotten a lot of media attention and getting cat. No, no, it's not just her. It's Angel Reese. It's Cardoso. It's maybe the top five. It's Brink over there in L.A. with the Sparks. Look at the top five or six players drafted in this year's WNBA draft. Huge on social media. Impactful college Brink. Players with following.
No,
So you cannot singularly say that Caitlin Clark is bringing this attention or this newfound attention to the WNBA. You can't do it.
No. Brink was the big thing on the West Coast. Gorgeous, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, great ball player. Angel brought that I don't want to say ghetto, but brought that Baltimore-type attitude to the game, moved to Maryland, came down to LSU to turn the game around. They also, and Caitlin was just sitting right in Iowa, went to high school in Iowa, went to play ball in Iowa, and she was getting the media attention because what she's been able to do as a shooter, a great college shooter, and she have the right hue. Complexion is of the right hue for them.
All right. Now, this is the part that kills me.
I think Angel has done more for women basketball than Caitlin has done.
I think Brink and Angel may have better WNBA careers than Caitlin Clark, too.
And Angel is the one who started making that NIL money. Caitlin didn't start making that. Angel was making that money from when she was when it first started.
What if I said this, Pearly? Caitlin Clark got Adam Morrison written all over her.
I wouldn't say no.
Now text her. Go Google Adam Morrison and get mad at me for that too. All right? It's all good.
Or Christian Laettner.
No. Laettner stayed. He lasted long though. Yes, he had a 16-year career.
Yes, he did.
Encouraging jealousy. I'm encouraging fair media coverage. Give credit all the way around. It's not Caitlin Clark that's doing all of this. It's a lot of other young ladies that have come in the league and added to this new era of women's basketball and the interest of young girls in it. It's not just Caitlin. They're not just watching Caitlin play. They're watching Brink. They're watching Angel Reese. They're watching Cardoso. They're watching the next set. And guess what?
And NCAA basketball is not going to take a dip because Juju Watkins right there.
Oh, Lord. And I'm going at LSU, too.
And you got to also look at it. And I'm not knocking her. Caitlin ain't the most attractive woman in the world. But if you look at Brink, you look at Angel, you look at Cardoso, they're beautiful women. They are gorgeous women who can ball and who's still femmy.
But we appreciate you listening. Caller and text, I guess we just agree to disagree on this one, man. It's still all good.
But keep it coming, text. I like your attitude.
We have the Caitlin sexual texting backed in. Yes, overhyped. And see how you know. When you hit them with the truth, they come back with texts like this. The only thing overhyped is the Dallas Cowboys, who can't smell a championship. Well, Caitlin couldn't smell one or see one either, sucker. And the Cowboys have had five. Once you win them, it don't matter when you win them.
They have been coming.
When last did the Cowboys...
Angel got her ring. Angel got her ring.
Naughty, when last did the Cowboys win a championship? Texter, when last did you send me a sensible text? Without exhibiting your low sports IQ and your infeelings about Caitlin Clark. Caitlin is the goat, Naughty.
Y'all didn't learn, Naughty, yet. He's a comedian. He always have the last say. Leave that. Don't be bringing up kind of statement up and let people hear what he has to say.
Caitlin is still the goat. You mean she looked like a billy goat, more like it. I see the hair on the chinny chin chin. Don't go there. The only thing Angel could be is fined or fouled. No, she's fine. F-I-N-E for sure. And it's foul that you think so little of her.
Ooh, that's better than I would have come up with.
I don't know Angel Reese was even a woman, Pearly. Well, Pearly could attest to it. We don't know what you are, Dexter. We got you down as alien. Because some of these texts coming in is definitely interplanetary, not of this world.
Listen, one thing I know, Angel is an absolute gorgeous, beautiful pie who is real, is plenty woman, and I've followed her intensely. I've read up on her. I've followed her. I'm friends with her on Facebook, and bitch, she has hailed me through Messenger. So I went with y'all. She's all woman.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Purdy, not even a quick break. We're gonna get into our pitch right now, and then we got Overreaction Monday with Rich Eisen taking us home. So real quick, and Rich talking about plenty today, man. Rich talking about plenty. He's talking about the Yankees outfield, Aaron Judge in particular, the Bears and the Eagles from the NFL and the NBA Finals. So that's coming up in short order. Mr. Producer, it's on the way to you right now. I need you to line it up for me. And while you line that up, please, and thanks, me and Purdy will get into the picks brought to you by the Island Game. And let me tell you, man, got some baseball today, Purdy, nothing else. NBA Finals coming up. I'm going to do my pick tomorrow.
They're Thursday. They don't play on Thursday.
I got to sleep on it one more sleep. But
all right.
Let's check the WNBA games. No, no games tonight. Games on Tuesday.
No, there's no WNBA.
Three games on Tuesday. Yep. Two games just on Wednesday. Tonight. And listen, I like the WNBA, boy. I've been spanking some parlays with them, boy. Real talk.
They're pretty consistent so far.
All right, bevy of baseball games on top tonight. Here we go, man. Brewers and the Phillies. This should be a good one. You know, Phillies been losing some games lately, and the Brewers have been winning. I think
the Phillies should have swept St. Louis when they lost last night to them. So
yeah, but prior to that, they dropped two out of three coming into that St. Louis series.
Yeah, they did.
So yeah, the Brewers might be a good pick in the underdog role there, plus the one and a half run.
I like the Phillies tonight.
The Mets and the Nationals, I don't know what to make of the Nationals. Good series one time, horrible series the next. The Mets, they're bipolar. I'm going to roll with them on the road tonight, though. I think they get it done.
I'm going to stick with the Nationals.
Orioles and the Blue Jays. Boy, I got to go with the Orioles. Just better team in this one. Both teams playing well as of late, but I got to go with Baltimore.
You heard the rumor that there was a talk about the Rays may trade Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero, and then the management had to come and say they're not that stupid.
No, they're not. They're not going to trade two-thirds of the old second-generation infield. They got Biggio's kid, they got Vlad Guerrero's kid, and they got Dante's Bichette's kid in that lineup. Three second-generation major leaguers. They ain't going nowhere.
Exactly.
I like
the Orioles tonight, though.
Tigers and the Rangers. I like this one, man. I like the Tigers in this one, though. Tigers been playing surprisingly good ball.
Well, Scubble been pitching really 7-1 with a 2-hour. I go with him tonight. He's their ace.
Astros over the Cardinals at home. I like the Astros over the Cardinals at home.
I've lost confidence in Verlander. I've lost confidence in him. I'm not happy with him. I like Gibson has been looking pretty good in St. Louis. They came off a big win last night. I like the Cardinals tonight.
I like the Reds and the Rockies. I like the Reds.
I like the Reds. Fastest team in baseball. Oh, they fast.
Poor they rolling.
Oh, they keep the catcher on edge. I like the Reds tonight as well.
The Angels and the Padres. I like the Padres in this one.
I like Anderson, who's pitching for the Angels tonight. He needs a win. He's not getting the wins. His ERA is there, but he's not getting the wins. I like the Angels at home tonight.
I like the Diamondbacks at home against the Giants tonight.
I can't stand the Giants. I can go with the Diamondbacks, even though I hate the two of them. But I think he did the lesser of the two evils.
There you go, man. Good stuff, Purdy. I appreciate you chiming in. We got Richard Eisen lined up, getting ready to take us home with the final 10. So we'll do it again tomorrow, man. Appreciate you. And get some rest, man. You had a long, hard weekend.
Just before we go, we got another big up from Ms. Dawkins, a listener who listens to us. I met her by breakfast yesterday, and she was like, Purdy, I listen to you and Naughty at 3 o'clock in the morning in the replay. I just love you guys. So, hi, Miss Dawkins. Sleep well.
Hello, Miss Dawkins. Sleep well. And why don't catch us in the regular hours?
No, she's listening to us 3 o'clock, and that's when she listened to us. She's busy until then.
All right. That's
she came up in the morning for a lot of time to hear us. She's sleeping with the TV on.
I love it. I love it. I appreciate it, man. Good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow, man, Pearly. All right?
Okay, brother. See you tomorrow.
You too, bro. Be safe. And be good, Bahamas. And if you can't be good at it. We'll see you mañana right here on Talking Sets.
Ciao, ciao.
For fast reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Flavored Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Flavored Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian spice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well, what
the Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles, with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there,
right,
brother?
We got a hodgepodge because, you know, there's not a lot of football going on.
Doesn't matter.
Here we go. What's up, guys? Happy Monday. Everybody good?
Thank you.
What's up, Chris?
Everybody good?
Hey.
How's your weekend, Chief?
Happy June. Man, June. Crazy. Where's the...
What do you got?
I don't know. I'm just... All this wide receiver talk.
Yes.
Someone's going to go for 2,000 yards this year.
Who's that?
Ooh, baby. Someone.
Oh, baby.
I'm not going to say who. I'm going to say someone. The wide receiver's going for 2K this year. Passing league. Tyreek Hill would have got it had he not gotten injured.
That's true, but there's always something going on with these guys.
Justin Jefferson was the number one player in fantasy last year. Hey, how'd that work out for everybody?
And A.J. Brown had a terrific stretch.
A.J. Brown, God mode, for like 7 weeks. And then
see ya.
Someone's going to finally do it.
Which is why this is an overreaction. I don't believe so.
Ooh.
Not going to tell these guys they can't. But I'm just going to say they won't. That's all. And we don't even have Puka Nacua up there. We put Cooper Kupp instead.
No, that's
Kupper right up there. So, no, I'll just say this is an overreaction.
as the running back gets further devalued.
Dude, I don't understand.
Christian McCaffrey's making like
I don't understand
a tenth of what Justin Jefferson
is. I feel like I'm Jerry Seinfeld putting my head like
that's the Kenny Rogers Roasters episode.
I mean, I can't unsee this, that Justin Jefferson, he's excellent, but he's ball dependent on having to get to him in the air.
He gets the ball like 5 to 10 times a game at most.
I mean, a running back is going to get it a hell of a lot more times and can affect wins and losses just as well, I think. But they won't pay him. I don't understand it. Overtime, Super Bowl, Christian McCaffrey gets the ball nonstop. Man. Winning win or go home game in Indianapolis against Houston. Final drive, Jonathan Taylor gets the ball nonstop. And when they don't pick up the fourth down, we're wondering, why the hell didn't he get it? Why wasn't he even on the field? But let's not pay these guys unless they, you know, give a pint. I don't understand it, but I'll just push back and say it's an overreaction.
Well, what's more likely Monday?
Ah,
who's more likely to get to 2,000 yards next, a wide receiver or a running back?
Why don't you save that till Friday? Why don't you just take that as a note and jot it down? And
it comes to me. It comes out the mouth.
I understand, you know that. I mean? You got to filter it and write it down.
I'll write it down. We'll save it. Save there you your go. Answer,
it's
save
a
your
tease.
For
We're using one
save
segment to tease another.
Look at us.
Look at us. Yes.
The next two wide receivers to get paid are going to be CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase, right?
Don't forget Tyreek Hill, who needs a contract
Hill,
adjustment.
I saw Drew Rosenhaus talking about that.
I'm sure he is.
All of those guys should hold out until they get paid what Justin Jefferson just got.
Yeah. I mean, but holding out, it's easy for you to say.
Easy
holding out.
It yeah,
is easy for you to say.
I'm
yeah.
saying,
sit at home
out,
while your team.
Do not do anything football related until they get the bag.
I would think that this is, I mean, Cincinnati's got an interesting dilemma on its hands because Chase needs to get paid and T. Higgins wants it. So I don't think this is an overreaction, but you try to hold out in the NFL. That ain't easy, Pud. It's not easy. What, are you going to watch Dallas go? You better hope he's wrong. But Dallas is going to go into Cleveland without CeeDee Lamb?
No, CeeDee. Yeah,
Tom Brady's first game with Amari Cooper on the other side?
It worked for Emmett.
That is true. We won the Super Bowl. So maybe.
It worked for Emmett to get his, but Dallas had to go 0-2 first to start it.
Still won the Super Bowl.
But I don't think this team is as good as that one.
Yeah, you're
where they can start 0-2 and just be just fine and dandy.
Probably not. NFC is not as
good. Well, we got best case scenarios coming up later.
Oh, yeah. I can't
wait to hear mine. You're going to love it. You will love it. What's the matter with you?
Well, you can appreciate my skepticism on this, right? Like,
no, actually, I don't appreciate it. As a matter of fact, whatever's the opposite of appreciate, that's me.
All right. Speaking of an NFC East player, I'm going to talk about Saquon Barkley. I'm going to get there in a second, but I've been...
Are you teasing within your own segment?
Yes. Teasing within the own topic.
Look at you.
I'm hearing Matt Eberflus talk.
Eberflus.
I'm reading all the Bear stuff. I'm so...
You're in.
I'm so in.
You're in.
I'm so in
You're
on
in.
The Bears.
How in are you?
I'm so in on the Bears.
How in are you?
DeAndre Swift will be more impactful this season than Saquon Barkley.
Get out of here.
I hope that's true.
Get out of here.
The running back he replaces... Not going to be as good.
Dude.
The guy that left was better.
Come
and he's going to be better for the Bears.
Dude. That's my response. Dude.
I'm so in on the Bears.
Dude. Stop it.
Like winning the division.
DeAndre Swift will be more impactful for Chicago than Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
No.
I think the Eagles are going to be, you know, a struggle bus.
You lost. Oh, God. Struggle bus.
Who's not there?
I know Jason Kelce's
the most important lineman, maybe
understand.
In the NFL last season.
I got it.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Hard pass.
Not buying. Hard pass. All right.
I didn't even say overreaction. I just said, dude.
Yeah. You're
two times.
What else?
You just did.
What else?
I just want to be on.
I am not here for the Quadzilla disrespect.
All right. Okay. All right. Some NBA stuff. You felt like you
it's a Penn Stater. He's disrespecting. You need to stand for that.
Look, but he also plays for the Eagles, so...
Oh, okay. It cancels?
Yeah. Okay. What am I supposed to say?
All right, had this one last week, didn't get to it, going to use it now. Because it still applies, because the NBA Finals hasn't even started
yet. That's true.
I'm glad we're getting warm leftovers.
Well, it's still fresh. You've never heard it.
Yeah. Okay.
He meal prepped this.
Now that you said
he meal prepped this question. He cooked it.
You
could have.
You could have. You could have just.
I'm oversharing. I'm oversharing. If the Mavs beat the Celtics in the NBA Finals, Luka, best player in the world, is going to pass Jokic.
He won't pass Jokic, but he will have that moment here where he can talk. He's the best player in the world.
I'm cool with this.
But I heard driving down today because I do listen to my buddy DP.
Look at that face.
He had James Worthy on. Worthy called Jokic, Kareem, and Magic rolled into one.
Ooh. Jokic?
Yeah. That's what he called him. Kareem and Jokic and Magic rolled.